Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
See, I'm afraid to do it, Luke, because
you want to go Blues.
But I want the Bruins to win.
The Bruins are winning tonight.
Number 10 is passion.
Number 10.
No disrespect to the nice sports fans of St. Louis, but we've dealt with them in the past.
They are, please.
It is not quite the same passionate fan base.
Straight away, Bullmeister. Slap shot, he scores!
Chittering the shit, he scores!
Nice second goal. There seemed to be some miscommunication there.
Alex Pietrangelo!
Look at that, eh? Pietrangelo, way to go, GTHL guy.
7.9 seconds to go in the first period, and the Blues have taken a 2-0 lead in Boston.
Tough to say because I haven't seen the replay yet.
Brad Marchand wanted to make a line change. He got caught in no man's land.
What the world is that?
We had a hell of a year. Came very close, so.
And it's been a blast.
We're a hell of a group. We came together.
Love coming to work every day.
I love every guy on this team.
And we've become friends.
Counting the seconds down in St. Louis. Because after 52 years, the St. Louis Blues have won the Stanley Cup.
And I don't think anybody's leaving the building tonight, unfortunately, in our locker room saying they put their best foot forward.
Right now.
Well, that sucked. But it's designed to suck when you get eliminated.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
A lot of crying last night over at the Viva Garden. A lot of crying. You had the players. They were crying.
So soft.
Because they were sitting there saying, oh, my God, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life. And then, of course, their families. You get that. Jack Edwards. I saw a tear or two from him.
Oh, of
a lot of the hockey beat writers in the locker room.
They were crying, too?
They're crying.
Well,
they're crying.
And also, it's this weird relationship that just hockey beat writers, I've realized this. First of all, I can't stand them. I hate them.
Why?
I'm not a huge fan of. I love the sport.
Well, they don't like you.
I love the sport.
They
That's
don't like
fine.
You either because you scooped them that last week.
That's true also. Right. But I feel like, you know, in other sports, nobody thanks, you know, thanks everybody else for, thanks the team for such an unbelievable run.
It seems.
For so many good experiences. Like, we tried our hardest and we just came up short.
Seems a little bizarre.
Should I tweet something out?
Yeah.
I feel like I should tweet my thanks to the Bees.
No.
To the boys.
Tweet your thanks out to the beat guys.
For just doing
being
such
with
a good
you the
job.
Whole way.
It's true.
We get that, too. I mean, there's a lot of teams on runs, and when it's all said and done, a lot of times, a lot of thanks on Twitter go out to the beat guys. Thanks for a great year.
I get like this whenever hockey starts to get coverage.
You see that?
It's their job.
Yeah, it is. Then they get to work a little bit longer.
They
get to go to the Stanley Cups and World Series and Super Bowls.
They get to cry.
It's a perk.
They could have tasted champagne. Instead, they get to cry. It's part of the deal. And I don't understand it. Going in yesterday, there are people, beat writers, that said, I'm scared. I'm afraid. I don't want to. Oh, I don't know if I can watch it. Talk show hosts are sitting there going, I can't watch it. It's too painful. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
That's what game sevens are all about. You have no idea what's going to go on.
Well, that was painful.
You could win, you could lose.
That was painful, though.
Well, of course it was.
You think?
I mean, it was painful. I'd say about 10, 12, 15 minutes in, and you're sitting there saying it's 0-0. I mean, you see it. You've seen it so many times where it's just the ice is tilted. Little hockey lingo for you.
Thank you.
And it's not really tilted.
Yeah, one team's dominating the game, and all of a sudden, here it is. Boom. Quick shot. Two shots. One goal. Down 1-0. Complete domination.
In the 9-hole.
Yeah, and that was, and they just, you didn't feel good. 0-0, 1-0, you didn't feel good.
You didn't feel good 1-0 when Marchand lost Pietrangelo and they got that goal because he was,
that was the game.
He was going off. He was on a shift change with, 12 seconds left in the period?
He was on a shift change before that.
Yes.
So it was about a minute 12 to go and they took the face off. That crew came on. That line came on. Bergeron and Pasternak are behind the net. They have possession of the puck with about 18, 20 seconds to go.
Their own net.
Behind Binnington.
Okay.
And Bergeron goes to change. Leaves his two teammates who have the puck in the offensive zone. He goes to change. If you watch the replay, he goes back, and I don't know, I think it might have been, Johansson tried to, he jumped on the ice, and Marchand stayed. And he jumped back off the ice. And then that was the effort that you saw from Marchand. He took a shot at Schultz. He missed him. And he left just he left the ice. He thought the period was over. He didn't think there was enough time for them to do some damage. Right? Let's face it. He just was like, whatever. 8 seconds, 12 seconds to go. We're good. 2-on-2. And he just left the ice. He tried to leave. He wanted to change, decided to stay on, and then changed when he shouldn't have.
So that has to be a killer.
My God, that's the game.
Because you're right. You're down 1-0, and it's amazing to me.
That was it.
Apparently, the last eight game sevens of Stanley Cup Finals, the team that has taken the lead at 1-0 has never given up the lead. Obviously, they haven't lost those games, but they've never given up the lead. But you thought, you know, it's the Bruins, and they can come back. They're down 1-0. Now, with 7 seconds left in the period, you get scored on. It's 2-0. You're going into the dressing room. You're sitting there going, my God. And that was the game.
You know why that's such a kick to the you know what? Is because that's just like something you learn, you know, when you're little. Listen, like, you know, always don't stop until the whistle blows. Keep playing to the very end. Don't assume anything. Like, you don't want to assume anything in a regular season game, especially when your ass is on the line, last game of the year, do or die.
You can't stay there for 12
seconds. You just kind of brain freeze and just put your team in a terrible situation. So
he never should have tried to change in the first place.
How many times have I said, don't stick it?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, again, if you go back, rewind it before that, 10, 15 seconds before that, Bergeron and Pastrnak kept the puck. They actually kick it out. Like, it was right at the face-off circle, the slot there, and Marchand wasn't there because he was going for a change.
Oh.
And that's why the Blues got possession to come down the other end. And then he decided to change. I mean, that was, listen, it's one of those things where, you know, you pop fly to the outfield, you jog out of the box, the guy drops it, and you look bad. All right? But 9 times out of 10, okay, he's going to catch that ball, whatever. I get it. It's the cup. You know, I don't think he was, you know, I think he just... For whatever reasons, inexcusable. He should have got off the ice right away, let Samuelsson jump on, or Johansson jump on, whoever that was, or just stay on and try to get the trailer guy. And that was lost right there.
As the game was going on, the more Binnington was kind of stopping pucks and making unbelievable saves, it just seemed like, obviously, the confidence was growing and growing.
First period.
So the first period. And then after that, I'm thinking about the Bruins and just how badly they were dominating them, yet they were never getting rewarded for it.
I don't think they were dominating.
No, I think the first period.
I thought the Bruins
was.
In the first period, I thought they were dominating.
No. The first period.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Stay with me. The first period alone. And so then as it.
I thought you were talking after the second
goal. No, because at that point in time, it was one of those things where they had to be frustrated because they threw everything at them. And he just kept stoning it and stoning them and stoning them to the point where, well, God, now you've made him mentally strong.
Yeah.
So no matter what happens, he's feeling comfortable. He's feeling good about himself. And then, God forbid, one goal would have been fine. But then after two, you're like, we're just going to sit back and just going to play defense.
Yeah, they needed something lucky. They needed a big moment. But he chucked up a couple rebounds early on in those first couple saves, and they did nothing with him. And I think the biggest problem that Tuukka Rask had last night, we're going to talk a lot about him because we've said it all along, he's been phenomenal in these playoffs, but you don't win the thing, and it's back on you again. The reputation goes right back to you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate because he was good enough last night. But I thought He had a 16-minute, I believe it was a 16-minute drought. 16-and-a-half-minute drought where he did not have a shot on net. At that point, you're sitting there going, give me some action.
Well, you know
I want to stay in this thing. You know?
I would say
it was just the opposite in the beginning for us.
And I would say the first couple of shifts, maybe the first two or three, St. Louis was controlling the puck. Mm-hmm. And you're like, wow, what happened to the whole, you know, home ice withstand the first 10 minutes?
There's no home ice.
Because I would say the first minute and a half, 2 minutes, the first few shifts, St. Louis had the puck. They controlled the puck. And then the Bruins took over. So in that second period, the shots were still skewed, but the chances weren't the same.
Yeah, see, the one thing about
they weren't the same at all. They hunkered down.
Yeah,
they weren't letting
penalty,
anything get through.
And you had an opportunity for, some penalties. I mean, sorry, a penalty.
One penalty. They had to make.
But even then, you still
knew that
had
was
one.
Happening. You
but you
knew.
Still had we one opportunity, and how stressful was that situation?
Well, they had great shots on goal.
They had great opportunities. And again, stones them. And then at that point in time, no reward whatsoever. So you're just sitting there. It's something like you're like at a football game. You're driving down. You get to the one. You end up settling for field goals, or somebody fumbles it, and you end up getting nothing for it. So you dominate the time of possession. You dominate yards and possessions. Yet you got nothing to show for.
Look at the way they play. Look at the way St. Louis plays. They control possession of the puck. They don't get a lot of good quality shots. It's amazing how often you see it in their end, and they're possessing the puck, and they're doing absolutely nothing with it. But they had to feel great. They go into the dressing room. They're up 2-0, and they're sitting there going, we've taken every punch. You know, the Bruins have thrown every punch, and you're leading 2-0. At that point, they get to play their game. They get to play the body game. They get to slow you down, and they did. And I've heard a lot of people say this, too. The best team didn't win. Best team won.
Yeah.
The best team won. Now, you can look at the players, and you can say the players, if you look at the Bruins roster, they have more skilled players than the Blues, and I'll buy into that. But guess what? I can look around the league. I can look at Pittsburgh. I can look at Tampa Bay. I can go up and down San Jose, Calgary, Winnipeg. They have more stars, more skilled players than the St. Louis Blues, and all of those guys have been on vacation for some time. The way the Blues played this series, the way they played each one of these series, they're the best team, quote-unquote, team.
Oh, they were in this series. I mean, yes. We were looking at this beforehand. So Pierre LeBrun and Scott Burnside of The Athletic, they put up a final report card grading every player after Game 7, meaning the Stanley Cup report card.
Love
the Bruins report card. All right, Tuukka Rask, A+. Torrey Krug, A+. They give Corrali an A, Carlo an A, Coyle B+, Johansson B+, Nordstrom B+, Chara B.
Easy grader.
Achari B. That's nine guys. Nine on the Bruins before you get to Pastrnak.
Do you have an argument with
Marchand, Bergeron, McAvoy? No.
I don't have an argument
at all.
None.
Like, you can get on that first line. After the game, you know, Bergeron, we're going to hear all the injuries. Yep. You know, Bergeron, the groin. Yep. We're going to hear about Marchand's hand from that scrimmage they had. We're going to hear about Pastrnak because he didn't look right early on. We're going to hear all the injuries now. But you go back, Pastrnak last night was lost. That first line... How the hell are you going to win a cup? Meanwhile, who do they have? O'Reilly.
He was outstanding.
Petrangelo, he was outstanding. They're better players. Binnington was great last night. Marchand, Pastrnak, Bergeron. What the hell happened to this line?
They get worn
down. I'll go back to Marchand talking about the line change. That great stop by Binnington, you know, the one that everybody keeps talking about, how he slid over and tried to get underneath the arm. That wasn't a one-timer. Okay, Marchand got the puck on his stick, set, and flipped a little wrist shot there. He had the entire right side of the net wide open. We could talk about the save all we want. It was a beautiful save. One-timer, you could make the argument like, hey, whatever. You're trying to get it past him quick before he rotates over. He had time. He missed the entire right side of that net.
Yep.
It's just that their guys didn't show up.
But they did that continuously.
Game 7, they didn't show up.
They did that continuously in this series. I think that the Blues, not just their defensemen, but their forwards, they just beat the crap out of them. And you see it with Pastrnak. Pastrnak is great. He's terrific. He's exciting, entertaining. During the regular season, when you got plenty of space out there in the ice, right? Once you get into a series like this, where they don't call as much, it's playoff hockey now, and they're beating the living crap out of you, look at the difference. And you're right, Lou. Pastrnak passing the puck an awful lot. Passing it, why?
He swung and missed like three or four times.
Because he didn't want the hit. Ooh, they're coming at me. So I agree. So that perfection line showed a lot of imperfections during the series. Let's get to the phone calls. We'll open it up. I don't know. People pissed?
Should be.
Are people going to thank the beat writers again? What are we going to do here? What is the exercise
I
going to be?
I thought I'd see
How
more
is the mood
anger,
going to
but
be?
I feel like
should be some anger.
I feel like nobody's angry.
The road was open for them. They faced one team with 100 points.
Anger doesn't exist. For a bunch of tough fans, they sure are.
Bruins fans should be pissed. This road was open up for you. What happened? And what happened to all these guys, you know, that were predicting a four-game sweep?
Fair.
Yeah, not just you. Matt Kalman, he knows hockey. He's a hockey guy. This is going to be a pushover. This is going to be nothing. Huh? Nobody gave this St. Louis team any credit. Well, somebody did. All right, we get to the phone call. 617-779-7937. Let's load them up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think the bigger question is not can you win a cup with Tukarask as your goalie, but can you win a cup with Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak as your top line?
Yes.
That I think you can. Oh, we haven't seen it yet.
No, I think that's the question. No, absolutely. Now, they no-showed in this final.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I don't know
if
you can.
I don't know why. I can't give you an explanation. I don't know if they can give you an explanation.
I'm not saying
they
get rid of those guys.
So good
I'm just
all
saying,
season.
Yeah, but not when it mattered the most.
Nope.
So what's the answer, though? I mean, you can look
the
at it now.
The answer is yes, they just didn't play well.
Right. And I'll give you the other one. They were outworked through most of this series. How many times do we sit here and say, you know, in basketball, they talk about 50-50 ball. The 50-50 puck, how many times did you see St. Louis win that battle when they needed to?
Well, that's the thing. You usually see those guys win those battles. That's one of the impressive things about that line is puck possession. They go into it. Marchand usually comes out of it. Bergeron comes out with it. Pasta, you know, not as much as the other guys. But I did, because the thing, too, about Pasta last year, do you remember what he did last year in the playoffs? I just saw a tweet out there. He had 20 points in 12 playoff games last year, 19 this year, and 24. They just didn't show up. I mean, they didn't. It was, you know, early on, it was the Tavares line that was shutting them down. And Cassidy moved some people around. After that, there really wasn't that great line to shut them down. But here, O'Reilly, they were able to do it, and the defensemen were able to do it as well. They just didn't show up.
And by the way, for all the injuries, because I know people are already talking about the injuries.
Hand injuries.
We're hearing the same thing in St. Louis, though. We're hearing rib injury with O'Reilly, and that's the guy that won the Conn Smythe. We're hearing that
they're all hurt. I told you that before the final actually started.
Ooh, my back.
So they outshoot you 12-4. The Bruins outshoot St. Louis in the first period 12-4. And out of those four shots, he gives up two.
Only two went in.
And the first two. I think it was the first two. So, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know what? Don't put it all on Tuca. Okay, I agree. But unfortunately, that's kind of what comes with the territory.
Yes.
If you're that position, just like a quarterback, you throw what? Two interceptions? Three interceptions? And even if your defense plays like crap and you're still keeping them in the game, you unfortunately need to play better. What do we say about Chris Sale the other day? We were like, you know, it's like, oh, he had a good game. No, he's got to play better. He can't give up two runs. He can't give up three runs. Can't give up any if you're playing against the Yankees, if you're playing against the Houston Astros. So, yeah, you can't give up two goals in the first period.
Unfortunately,
I don't care if one got tipped.
I don't care
if the other one was, if it's only 12 seconds left. You can't do it, especially when the other guy isn't giving up anything.
I agree. We could sit here and make all the excuses we want for Tuukka Rask, because they wouldn't have been in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final had it not been for Tuukka Rask. Because in many of these games, they weren't good enough. He was carrying their ass. But when the game is on the line, and we were constantly comparing his numbers to Tim Thomas from 2011 and sitting there saying, well, Rask got better numbers, except he didn't win Game 7.
Yeah, you know what it is?
He didn't win it.
For him, it's the Stanley Cup. It's Game 7. For a guy like David Price, it was just a playoff win, correct?
Right, correct.
And this sort of had the feel of Price going out there, throwing 8 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, and losing 2-1. And the people will say, well, he was great. And his others will say, yeah, he was. But factually, does he have a win yet? No.
Go away!
I would say the Pietrangelo goal, I would have liked to have seen him make that stop. And I know it was point blank. I know it was a great scoring chance. But that was one of those where you had dominated the first period. The first goal, the O'Reilly tip, you're sort of like, hey, I get it. You know, what can you do? Especially tipped it out that high, just misdirection through the 5-hole. But that last goal and at the end of the first period, that would have been a boost, right? If you stop him cold, it would have been, all right, 1-0, we're dominating, we're still in this game, let's go. Make that one great save. That would have been the save that you maybe would have looked for. Was it a great scoring chance? Sure.
Yeah, it was.
Just like Marchand's was, just like Krejci had one, just like Nordstrom had one, just like a lot of Bruins had one, that Binnington didn't allow the goal.
Right.
That Pietrangelo goal at the end of the first period, even though he put it on Marchand, he could have made that one.
Yeah, well, I would say this. There were no softies last night against Rask, but Binnington made stops that were exceptional, all right, that could have very easily been goals, and you wouldn't sit there and say it was Binnington's fault. He made spectacular saves last night.
I would have given Binnington to Conn Smythe. And I know that, you know, O'Reilly was definitely worthy. There's no question. You know, Pietrangelo was actually worthy as well. But if Binnington doesn't play the way he did last night, O'Reilly's not winning the Conn Smythe.
Correct.
Right?
Because of Billington.
But they're doing it based on the entire playoffs. And by the way, you had the 5-1 game, which was game six.
No, O'Reilly wasn't great throughout the whole postseason.
No, but he was pretty good. No, earlier Schwartz was good. Right. He did nothing in this series. Right. Okay, but I would say this, that Binnington had a bad game six. That was a 5-1 game. And earlier in the series, they had to pull him, if you remember.
Yeah.
So they're looking at that. But if you look
but
at
I thought it wasn't about this series.
You think
but
he really did get. At that?
Yeah. Why'd they
win game seven?
It's the last vote taken.
Why'd they win game seven?
He got 5 votes.
If I was to say, what's the one reason why the Blues won last night, what would you say?
Binnington was the
one. All right, so O'Reilly doesn't win.
It's because of Billy.
But I think O'Reilly was part of them winning the entire series. I think he was a big part of
it. He was dominant.
And Binnington did have 2 bad games. 2 games you can look at. Unfortunately for Tuukka Rask, that wasn't a bad game, but that was the worst game he's played in the series.
Yep.
And you can't play the worst game in the biggest game.
But he also got no support. He got no help from anybody until the very last period when the game was pretty much over and done with.
As Lou said, the other goaltender outplayed him last
night. No, but I'm talking about, okay, so fine. So you still need to get something from your stars. Their stars showed up. Your stars did not. You want to break it down that way? Break it down that way.
Yeah, I think that's part of what O'Reilly did defensively. He was tremendous in this series. Okay? Tremendous. But
he was dominant.
But Binnington did something. He stood on his head last night. That's one of those hockey terms, by the way. Stand on his head. Rask did not.
Billington.
And you have to in that game. Right? You have to in that game. All right, let's get to the phone calls. Let's go to Arthur. Arthur's in New Hampshire. Arthur.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up?
I just want. Do you think that this kind of, you know, the mold of where the NHL wants to go with the fast and finesse teams, high scoring? You think this kind of shows them that the sport of hockey, you still need big physical guys to win these grueling wars of attrition in series like this? You know, just like we did in 2011 against Vancouver.
Yeah, same thing.
Were you on our conference call?
They were the skilled team in 2011.
Arthur must be a hockey guy like you, Christian.
Yeah, exactly. See, Arthur, this is exactly the same thing I said earlier today.
You did.
Because I'm sitting there going, so just like in football, we have that Kansas City Ram game. Oh, it's going to be high-flying offense, offense. No. When it comes down to it, if the NHL is going to try and merge into this and morph into this, you know, fast skating, no contact, forget about it, you know, big doesn't win, no more heavy teams, shouldn't this prove to you that this style, if you're building a team, you can win a cup by building a big, physical, heavy team?
Out of Boston, the great Christian Fourier.
I mean, when one trend goes one way and everyone tries to follow suit, to me, what the St. Louis Blues do is just basic old school hockey. So it's still relevant. It still works.
Well, yeah. And after the first, after our flurry, Binnington shut him down. You could see the frustration. And then you could see, like Glenn's been saying the whole series, them looking over their shoulders. They look scared again to get beat up. If we had that one or two big guys, the big brother that can come in and put them in their place, might be a different series, but we never had that guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if teams look at it right now and say, we don't have one of those great skilled lines. We have to do it differently. Why don't we do it more on the lines of what St. Louis does? All right? Now, Bennington's part of that because they kind of turned things around when they brought in Berube, and then they brought the kid, rookie goaltender in. But their style, it is more conducive to what you do in the playoffs. Here's the other one. I don't think I'd ever worry in the NHL about going out and winning the stupid, what do they call it, the presidential trophy or whatever.
Never.
I think that's a waste of time.
Why even
put the effort into doing that?
Well, I don't know if that's, you know, effort into doing it. It's just the I don't know, it's just the consequences or just the reality of having a good hockey team.
Well, and when was the last,
you just keep
when
winning,
was the last
you know,
team that won the president's trophy that actually won the cup?
I don't know. We'll have to look
it
up.
It's been a while.
I don't know. I think it has.
We were talking about that earlier. Earlier than when the playoffs
guys,
first started.
All of the top seeds all got eliminated. That's why
this
everybody
year.
Thought the Bruins were going to ride right through this thing. And that's why I'm wondering if Bruins fans are pissed in that you looked at the road to winning the cup. And you said to yourself, you got to be kidding me. We don't have to face Tampa Bay. We don't have to face Pittsburgh. We don't have to face any of these other teams. This is our road to get there. Are you kidding me? How do we not win this thing?
Yeah, so 2012, the Blackhawks. Last team to win the President's Trophy, which means, I mean,
come on, see if you can
who cares?
And that was a hell of a team.
Yeah,
they were
okay.
Loaded.
So, you're right. It doesn't
I don't think you played a season. It's like the Red Sox won 108. We got to stop winning because we don't want to have the best record.
It's
no, we just Tampa Bay was so good. They just rolled it out there every single night and kept winning. I don't think they sat there and said, this is a bad thing. We're about to win the President's Cup. We're about to get more points. We're about to be the best team in a regular season. We got to slow down. No, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, but I think it's a different sport. I think when you're playing in a different city every single night, if you've got these skilled players, you're going to win these games because there's less game planning. There's less, you know, this hitting. And more of the physical game. You get into the postseason, it's much different. So I wouldn't worry about going out and try to be the leading team in win-loss percentage during the regular season. I would build my team to get into the postseason, and then I would build it in a certain way to go and win in the postseason. And I think St. Louis is a prime example of that. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Last night, it was the Bruins season ending with a disappointing Game 7 loss. React and talk about it right here. Now back to OMF on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
What's the emotion like right now? Is you to just get within a game of where you want to be and to fall short like that?
It's hard to find words.
Probably the worst thing as a player is having to sit and watch. Not being able to go out there and battle with the guys, so
it just hurts. You know, I know it's gonna hurt for a while, so I don't think I'll ever get over this one.
Love these guys. We had a hell of a year, came very close, so I love every guy on this team and
never get over this.
You know, they just took our dream, our lifetime dream from us.
Bruce, on behalf of everybody at Nesson and in the entire Bruins tribe, thank you very much for being a stand-up guy.
We'll get to more Jack later.
Wait a second.
Tribe?
Wait a second.
Hockey boys.
It's a wolf pack. I'd rather you use wolf pack, Jack. Wolf pack.
In the entire Bruins tribe.
Here's the thing.
We got more Jack later on because he was interviewing Cassidy at the end, and I felt bad for Cassidy because it was sort of like
his name cup.
No, it was sort of like Jack was reading a speech at Cassidy's memorial
funeral,
service.
Yeah,
that was.
He brought the tribe together.
Okay. All right, so let's throw the word choke out. Did they choke in this thing? Think of the difference for these players right now. We're just talking about Tuukka Rask. Tuukka Rask plays a little bit better in that game last night. They win that game last night. Maybe other guys play better. And Tuukka Rask wins that game. We're sitting here today saying he got the monkey off his back. Tuukka Rask is suddenly no longer a question guy in this town, right? Legacy, reputation changes dramatically. How about Patrice Bergeron, loved in this town? A complete player, okay? -4 in this series. Now, granted, he had maybe a groin problem. He talked about that after the game. But he's 1-2 overall in the Stanley Cup right now. He may never get an opportunity again. He may end up with one Stanley Cup championship. Marchand, -2. We can say the same thing about him. Chara, 1-2.
Marchand's going to have a tough offseason. Just a game 7, that's all. You know, I mean, bad shot against Bennington, the great save, and the fact that change at the end, the non-change, then the change at the end of the first period, that's going to be a tough one.
We're on to round 3.
I don't think they choked. I wouldn't consider this a choke job at all. Was it lined up perfectly for them? Yes.
So how is it not a choke job if it's lined up
perfectly? Because they played a good team.
Yes. Wait,
I mean, you're not giving the Blues any kind of credit.
Hold on. Who's been giving the Blues credit
for 2 weeks? All right, so then why do you think they choked?
I'm just throwing
it
out
there.
You don't
know, but a choke is Atlanta. 28-3, you choked.
Yes. No, again, if the Bruins were up 3-0 or up 3-1 and had a 2-game lead in Game 7, then you could sit there and we could start discussing, like, wow, they had it right there. They choked. They were down 3-2. They went to St. Louis. They won. They played what was a very good team, a physical team, a team that beat you down, and you need to show a lot to take it to Game 7. No, they just got beat by a team that played better than
them. Okay, I would agree with you, and I would say they were almost set up by all of this, in that we looked at the road, ignoring the fact that all of those good teams were really beaten by these lesser teams. And that's why the Bruins had an easier route. So in the NHL, it doesn't work that way. It's not like the NBA where the number one, number two seeds, they just go to the finals. That's it, right? No, the NHL is much different. And we saw the pattern. And the pattern continued all the way to the winner of the Stanley Cup this year. But when you look at going into the series, why was it that so many people thought this was a 4-game sweep, especially after game one? This is a piece of cake. This is an awful team. I heard for 2 weeks that the Blues sucked. And now suddenly, this morning, the Blues are suddenly a better team and a great team.
The Blues don't have a chance.
Yeah, I did not. What about that guy?
This
Mr.
guy, Hockey Insider, yes. I got some bad intel. Because I looked at, you want to call it the perfection line, who is like, they need to change their name.
I think they're far from perfect. I think they will.
Use something else. I mean, because I thought they were ultimately more skilled, better players, home ice. I mean, you name it. They just looked like, even though the St. Louis Blues were big and physical and, you know, and they won that second game, I just felt like eventually they couldn't sustain that type of play against this team.
Home ice is not a factor,
though. Again, you asked if it was a choke. How do you define a choke? I guess that's the first question.
A choke is when everybody considers you the better team. You're going to have a walk to the Stanley Cup championship. Let's start raising the cup already. People were joking about this for a week, like they had already won the thing.
A choke's got to be in real time. People just giving their opinions. A choke's got to be something that's happening before your eyes. 28-3, Celtics losing to the Lakers.
But that's one game, and I don't think they choked in last night's game. I'm just saying overall, it was supposedly set up for them, because I'm not buying the choke.
They had a supposed advantage, a perceived advantage based on their regular season.
Bad perception.
How bad the Blues were on January 2nd, worst team in the NHL.
That's what you're forgetting, is that, you know, this is sort of like a... You know, in the NBA, you've seen it more, maybe, you know, or you get a lot of injuries during a regular season, you slide in as like the 4 seed, but you're a very dangerous team. Like the St. Louis Blues were the best team in hockey in 2019.
Yeah, during the calendar year.
During a calendar year.
Yeah.
So how can it be a choke?
Five losses in a regular season.
Yeah, how can it be a choke they're the best team this year? I mean, January 1st, they're out of the postseason.
But you didn't say this when the series started. Nobody said this.
But Glenn, okay, Jesus. So they won game one. I thought they were going to win the series.
Yeah,
it's
but
not
before,
like, because
before
I
game
said
one.
It, it was a choke job.
Yeah,
because
I'm not just saying
Ty
you.
Anderson says it or Matt Kalman says it. It's a choke job. I just thought they were going to win. They lost.
So I'm throwing you.
A choke.
Okay, I'm trying to explain the explanation of what a choke job is.
You were favored by like $1.50.
Everybody
loved it. It's like a 60% them. Chance winning.
Everybody loved
it. 60%.
Them.
It wasn't 90.
I thought it was higher than that.
No, it was 155.
Yeah. Most people really loved them in the series. And I agree with you. I think they misjudged St. Louis. They misjudged how the playoffs have played out here in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Because the better, more skilled teams, they were not winning. They were losing.
Well, this year.
Yeah. What was
Washington last year? Are they skilled?
Yes.
How about Pittsburgh the 2 year previous years?
Yes. But
so let's not overreact on the
big
team. Now the league's got to switch to a big, hard-hitting team that forechecks the hell out of you and goes up 1-0 and then bunkers down.
No, but the NHL, you see more of these upsets. But this one was off the charts. I mean, everybody admits that.
The postseason was.
Oh, this postseason was.
Well, are you talking about who choked? Tampa Bay choked.
They choked.
They had 15 wins better than any team in the NHL. Right. One of the best regular season hockey teams in the history of the league. That team choked.
Scored the first 4 goals in the first game.
Yeah.
And then lost the series in 4 straight.
Take a couple of these because I got a couple questions.
The phone calls. Here's Rick in the car. Hello, Rick.
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
what's
Rick.
Up?
So I think the Bruins just couldn't get it up. I mean, if
Excuse
you look
me?
At the goals that were scored on that goalie,
Everything that went by him high. The first 25 shots they took on him were all below his waist. If they had went high on him, they would have scored.
They beat him five-hole an awful lot, though, didn't they? Rick.
Yeah.
They beat him five-hole throughout the whole playoffs, no? The Stanley Cup?
Went high on both sides of them.
Okay.
You look at the goals that were scored on them. Okay, some trickled through low, but the majority of them went by high on them.
Yeah, and, well, that's where...
They didn't go high at all. That's... The one goal they got, they went high.
All right, so your point is what? Right. Your point is what, Rick?
Bad shooting.
The point is that the coaching staff going into the game has to know where the goalie's weaknesses are.
Nice.
And they didn't. They didn't point it out. They didn't say we're going to shoot high on this guy.
Rick, I don't believe that one bit.
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, you just got through saying that they knew exactly how to beat him. They didn't execute the shots.
Right.
Again,
That's right.
Brad Marchand had an open net with the puck on a stick. It wasn't a one-timer. He had the whole right side of that net open, and he threw it back at his chest. He threw it back at Binnington as he was sliding over. Gave him a chance. It's a bad shot.
Yeah, I would also say the game six, and what was the other game that they pulled him?
To put in the coaches. The coaches knew. They knew exactly where to score.
That they had no problem with Binnington. He was terrific in that game, obviously, last night. The biggest problem they had was that when St. Louis dictated the style of play, which is forechecking, possession, controlling the puck, not necessarily even taking shots, just controlling the puck in their offensive end and denying the Bruins entry. When they were doing stuff like that, the Bruins couldn't play with them. They couldn't. And when the Bruins were able to open things up, it had no it didn't matter what building they were playing in, because they won three of the four here, and St. Louis could have won four of them here in this building.
So let me ask a question. So yesterday we talked about all the things that had to happen. So the first thing was, whoever has the best goaltender, obviously, whoever plays the best is going to win. All right, so that happened. Binnington played better than Rask. Okay,
and you would have thought that Rask would have played better than Binnington, because this is a 25-year-old
doesn't matter.
Rookie who only has played a few
doesn't
months.
Doesn't matter. That guy's wired a little bit differently. He's a little nutty.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm not surprised that he bounced back. And his record shows, during the playoffs, that he recovered after a loss.
Check even mark
after
St. Louis. Yep.
Okay. The refs. We all thought the refs were going to be an issue in this game. And we also said, okay, who would this benefit? If the refs swallow their whistles, who would it benefit
St. Louis by landslide.
But do you think that it benefited them?
Yes.
No.
Okay, I guess my point is, like, did it look like the Blues were getting away with a lot of stuff and the refs were just letting it go?
No, I think what the Blues did is I think they tightened up the really bad stuff, the stuff where they were being outrageous. But I thought the hitting in this game, if you're talking about the physicality of this game, it was far more on the St. Louis side than it was on
Boston.
Yeah,
but that's something different. We're talking about cheap shots.
Yeah, but they weren't calling any of that stuff.
That's my point. So that really wasn't an issue.
It wasn't an issue.
I didn't see a bunch of cheap shots by the Blues.
No, you never saw. How many times did you sit there and say, I can't believe they didn't call that?
Well, there was one that, who was it? Somebody slammed one of the Bruins into the boards, and it was almost head-to-head. It was like shoulder, head,
and did you say, oh, my God, they should have called that?
No, I said,
the fans go crazy.
The first thing I reacted,
I
believe it was in the first period, and I said, they're not calling anything tonight.
But when they didn't call anything, you felt like, we were saying the other day, they might have to call something early before it gets out of control.
Call nothing.
Never got out of control.
No, it didn't.
Well,
the
refs had
no impact at all in this game. The only penalty they called, they had to.
Yeah, but that's still a negative for the Bruins. Because if you're calling some penalties during the course of the game and you're calling the game tight, which certainly they didn't, they let those guys play yesterday, you get power play opportunities. That's where the Bruins were able to prevail in this series.
Yeah,
you know, people talk about the goal differential, and they're saying, how is it that the Bruins lost this series when the goal differential is in their favor? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the 5-on-5 goal differential was in St. Louis's favor. The way you scored during the series is when you had an extra man on the ice. Yeah.
See, the fact is that it was a clean game it was a clean game.
Yep.
They beat you fair and square.
But it was physical.
No, here's the thing. I'm not saying that it wasn't physical, but we thought that, okay, Berube's sending these messages out, and he's saying, hey, in game six, we weren't physical enough. They're playing the whole back-and-forth chess match with the refs, and Cassidy's saying one thing, Berube's saying another. So you actually think it's going to get dirtier, and the Blues are going to try and see how much they can get away with.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. They didn't do any stupid stuff. They didn't run at the goaltender.
No, it didn't happen.
They didn't run at the goaltender because they
were smart.
Yep,
they knew better.
They were smart.
So I guess everything that we said, like, it really wasn't a factor.
Right.
Sure, it wasn't even a factor. I mean, so it was a fair, clean game. And
but I told you where it was a factor. The Bruins need that. The Bruins need to go on the power play. That's how they beat the Blues. If you look at these games, the games that they won.
No, hold on, Glenn. Sorry. We said that if they're calling it loose and it's going to benefit, we thought they were going to swallow their whistles. They don't want to call penalties in the Stanley Cup final, the last game, because they don't want to be part of the game. But none of it was a factor.
Nobody benefited
from anything except their own hard work.
No, the refs did a good job staying out of this.
Yeah, but you're missing.
And the game never got out of control.
Except you're missing the point. The Bruins needed to have some penalties called.
Well, that's
yeah, but that wasn't what we said yesterday.
That's exactly what I said. Go back and dig the tape up. Right. That's exactly what I said.
But the point,
it's all about power play.
Yes.
That's where they score.
Game six. What did they do in game six? 5-on-5.
Right.
They put up three.
Yeah.
That's why it was like, okay, that was probably the bigger development in game six. And one of them was an empty net, whatever. But even strength, 5-on-5, I think they put up three goals. And you're like, okay, finally, they're showing some scoring 5-on-5.
Except none of the stuff carried over, and we talked about that yesterday from game to game. You still would much more have 5-on-5 if you're the Blues. And if you're the Bruins, you'd rather have opportunities with an extra man out there on the ice. Here's Sam down in the Vineyard. Hey, Sam.
Hi, guys.
Hi,
Sam.
Thank
you for taking my call.
Sam.
Ooh. What's up, Sam?
Yeah. What's up, guys? I just wanted to. I've been listening, and I agree with pretty much all that you've said. This whole series was so unpredictable, and that's what made it awesome. Is that there wasn't anyone? No game was in anyone's favor because you just didn't know who was going to show up and perform on the night. So, I mean, we won a game on their home turf. They won a game on ours.
It went three.
You know what I'm talking about. If you can't win with 5-on-5, then you're not playing the game.
Yeah, and they didn't game six. And you thought they would.
Right.
And I think in the first period, they did. I mean, their power play was very good. They had opportunities. But overall, 5-on-5 in the first period, they dominated play. They had better scoring chances. It was like 9-1 at one point, and they put theirs only one scoring chance in.
And that was the whole reason why we lost the game, is that we just couldn't put it in the net. It wasn't that they didn't have the chance to do it. They just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sam. 617-779-7937. The Bruins season is over. It's all in the Red Sox now, right? We need somebody to come out and win.
The Patriots signed a tight end.
Ooh,
How about that?
I'm not getting too excited.
It answers all their problems. Now they have a deep threat. They can get up the seam and stretch the defense.
Had nine catches
last
year. Set
the edge.
Going to get excited. This hour has been brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic. Back to your phone calls. Coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.